Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I am so delighted to be with you once again on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now, here in this neck of the woods with my friends over at 91.5 FM. That would be Kingdom 91.5 FM. And then our friends up in the Atlanta area, WAEC Love 860, serving Greater Atlanta, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then with our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. What a joy it is to come together to sit down at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we've been going through a message series on how the Lord is our prayer focus. He is our prayer focus. That is the portrait of God we've been focusing on. And as you know, if you've been a friend of this broadcast for any length of time, all of my messages have to do with the portraits of God, because the scripture, when I read the scripture, I see the portraits of God everywhere I go. And so we're looking at many portions of scripture and have been taking a journey that we're winding up today on how the Lord is our prayer focus. There are 20 takeaways, glimpses or portions of this portrait of how He is our prayer focus. We've covered the first 16. We're going to wrap it up today to get to number 20. So I hope you have your Bibles, and we'll make our way over to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18, but even if you don't, I'll be reading them out loud. We'll be walking through them together to see how the Lord is our prayer focus. And as you're making your way over to Ephesians chapter 1, just a quick reminder that these messages are archived on my website, markpg.org. Stands for Mark Philip Gonzalez, by the way. markpg.org. And not only will you find these 27-minute broadcasts there archived, you'll also find 3-minute videos on different portraits of God as well, along with some quick guides on a lot of different topics, hot topics and devotional topics for you to take a journey through the scriptures. And then some articles I've written over the years for different publications and stuff. So yeah, that's all at markpg.org. And I just have one goal in mind, and that's to help you hear God. Helping you hear God. So as we get started, let's just go before the Lord then and ask Him to speak as we get ready to wind up this journey through the scriptures about how the Lord is indeed our prayer focus. Lord, we're just so grateful and humbled, really, to be able to come and sit at Your feet anytime we want to. We can sit at Your feet, gaze in Your eyes, and listen for Your heart as You speak to us heart to heart. Lord, as we're looking at this wonderful portrait of You as our prayer focus, and as we're winding it up today, oh, I pray that we will be so inspired to really step up our heart commitment and our heart focus on You as our prayer focus. Not the things that we want, not the things that we want You to do, not the things that we want to complain about. And I know sometimes that's a part of it. That's okay. We get that. And You're so gracious to let us vent. But You're so gracious to receive it and to encourage us. So, Lord, we look forward to hearing from Your heart today. And we ask for nothing less than that. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends. Well, yeah, I'd go through a run-through of what we've been covering before, but that's 16 sub-points. That's just too long. I want to get to these final four. And again, just go to markpg.org, where we have archived the previous five messages on this topic. And, you know, we talk about how, you know, the Lord, our prayer focus, wants us to pray in our inner room and to pray with grateful praise and with humble deference and with daily dependence and reflexive forgiveness and so on. So today we come to number 17, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And here's the takeaway. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you right up front so you can be looking for it in Ephesians 1:18, it's how the Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for us to pray for enlightened hearts. Pray for, and even with, enlightened hearts. Do you have an enlightened heart? Listen to this in Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. Let me just read it again. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Oh, my friends, the Lord yearns for you to pray for and with enlightened hearts. So let's just talk about that for a bit. You know, one of the things that I just love about our salvation is that we are being rescued out of darkness and into the light. We're being rescued from a destiny away from God, perishing away from him in hell forever. And we're being rescued from that destiny to one where we have everlasting life in him and with him. But along with that salvation experience comes an ever enlightened heart, where he begins to open our eyes to see more and more about the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory and our inheritance in the saints. The more you spend time in conversation, which is prayer, with the Lord, the more your heart will get enlightened, so that you will be able to see like he sees. When your heart will start aligning more with his heart, when you start receiving more of the truths that he has for us, that we just get so busy and so preoccupied, we miss them. We don't receive them. They're there. It's like being offered hors d'oeuvres at a party. They're right there in front of us. To receive it is to take, reach, and eat. Wow. So, as I want to unpack this for us, let me just kind of give you a couple of illustrations that might help us. All right, seeing like he sees. Do you know, I love the passage over in Matthew chapter 9, where it talks about how he saw the multitudes. Jesus saw the multitudes with eyes of compassion, as he saw them as downcast sheep without a shepherd. Then it goes on to say, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Here's the deal about all that. When our hearts get more and more enlightened, when we look at people, our reflexive view of them will be, bless their hearts, just like me, they're wounded and downcast sheep. A downcast sheep was one who was upside down on its woolly back and unable to get back on its feet. It'll die unless someone, a shepherd, comes and gently rolls them back on their feet. We are like downcast sheep. When you see people, when you meet people, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in, you know, clubs or centers or your neighborhood or whatever, do you see them like Jesus sees them? Do you have the enlightened hearts to see him with enlightened eyes of compassion, where you see that here's a person that deep down, there's some things that they struggle with, and you know of a Savior who can help them? Seeing like the Lord sees with an enlightened heart just changes your whole perspective. Not only that, it's not only about seeing those out there as downcast sheep who need Jesus, so it just gives you a whole different perspective of life. Rather than living with a critical spirit, you live with a compassionate one. That's a game changer in and of itself. But it also calls on to talk about how he yearns for you to know the hope of your calling and the riches of his glory and all that's entailed in the inheritance for the saints. He has so much in store for you. He is far more wealthy than the wealthiest man on earth, no matter the billions and billions of dollars that guy or gal may have. That is, doesn't compare to the riches of the Lord in his grace and his love for you. Oh, my friend, it's an amazing thing. When we start taking the journey to go deeper and deeper into what it is to be saved, our hearts become more enlightened. Our hope becomes bigger. The riches of glory become far more important than the riches of money or possessions. We recognize that our inheritance on this earth is but a pittance compared to the inheritance that waits for us in heaven when we come to Him in salvation, when we get saved, when we get in covenant with Him, when we marry Him, when we become born again, when we become adopted as sons or daughters, or born again as sons and daughters. The Bible has so many metaphors. Tons become available to us in Christ, abiding in Christ, transformed as new creations in Christ, becoming the bride of Christ. It is stunning. I pray, I yearn for you, as the Lord, our prayer focused us, that your heart will be enlightened to all that He has for you, how He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. It's all there waiting for you on a platter. You just have to take and eat. Oh, are you a little too busy? Do you don't take much time to get into the Word? Do you don't take much time to have conversations with the Lord? Do you not have those quiet times with Him? Do you not chew on the truths that you're hearing in messages or in podcasts or radio broadcasts like this? Do you not have conversations with people about the depths of the Lord? If not, you're missing out on tons. Those are things that we do not because we have to, but because we get to. Because when we do, our hearts get more and more enlightened. Oh, my friend, again, if you're a note taker, this is number 17. The Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for you to number 17, pray for enlightened hearts. I love that. Hey, well, here's number 18. The Lord, our prayer focus, also yearns for you to pray at all times in the Spirit. Do you pray at all times in the Spirit? Maybe you do, or maybe you don't. What does it look like? Well, over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says this, Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And there it is. That's the takeaway. Number 18, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Man, I love this. This really intrigues me, this idea of being alert with all perseverance and petition. It gives you the idea that being alert is required because we are in a dangerous world. Well, are we? We absolutely are, my friends. The scripture tells us that the enemy prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The scripture also tells us that he has these fiery darts that he tries to penetrate your heart with, to discourage you, to confuse you, to disorient you, to seduce you. It's spiritual warfare out there, my friends. In fact, earlier in Ephesians, he talks all about the reality of spiritual warfare and how we're to be strong against the enemy, how we're to remember that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities in high places and all. And Ephesians 6 is so clear about unfolding that for us, and it crescendos with this verse, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. You know, let me see if I can demystify the idea of spiritual warfare and what it is to pray at all times in the Spirit with this spirit of alertness regarding the spiritual warfare. You know, sometimes we kind of get a feel or a picture in our minds when people talk about spiritual warfare as the enemy kind of causing bad things to happen. Lord, you know, then causing this and that. Anyway, here's the thing. It's not so much about circumstances that are the focal point when it comes to spiritual warfare. The bulk, the large, huge percentage of spiritual warfare is not out there. It's in our hearts. It's the enemy trying to bind up our heart, confuse our heart, harden our heart, seduce our heart by having us react to the tough circumstances of life. Jesus very clearly told us, in this world there is tribulation, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. He says, take heart. It's about the heart. What are your heart responses, or even better put, what are your heart reactions, reflexive reactions to the difficult things that come up in life? When somebody is saying something to you that's insulting to you, or they've done something to hurt you, what is your reaction to that? When things in an organization that you're part of, at the workplace or at school or an athletic team or wherever, at church, and it's not going like you think it ought to go, what is your reaction? It is at the point of your heart where you're reacting to whatever difficult circumstances come up. That's the point of spiritual warfare. So yesterday I got a call from my wife. It was almost time for me to head for home, and it was about 5:45. She said, "Honey, all the power just went off at the house." And I'm thinking, "What?" I was tired. I'm going, "Oh man, okay, well, all right, darling. Well, I'm getting ready to come home anyway, so just hang in there and stuff, and we'll see if it's just our house or if it's the neighborhood or what." So. But let me know if it comes back on. Probably going to come back on. They usually get on it pretty quickly, 5-10 minutes. So I didn't hear from her, so I went and called the neighbor and said, "Hey, is your power out or is it just ours?" Oh, ours is out too. I'm glad to know that yours is too. Yeah, we weren't sure if it was just our house either. So we knew it was something in the neighborhood or the community, whatever it was. And this is very unusual. Now, during hurricane season, and when we have a hurricane, yeah, we get it. But out of the blue, what? So I get home, and it's still off, and to make a long story short, we enter into darkness that night with candlelights and all, and then it was 8 hours before they could switch out two transformers that had gone out in our neighborhood that had 41 of the homes there without power for 8 hours. Now, it was a very annoying thing. At the close of the 4-hour mark, we had to pack up food and bring it to our offices and the refrigerators here so that they wouldn't spoil and stuff like that. So I'm driving at 9 o'clock at night with that and stuff. And I was tempted to get really grousy and grouchy about it and get short and curt with my wife about it. "Oh, this, you want to do this? And we got to get all that out. And maybe it's going to come back on, But you know what? The Lord's been working with me, saying, "Son, it's not about circumstances. The spiritual warfare is not that the enemy busted up two transformers, his demons came about. That's not it. Those things are going to happen in real life. It's how do you respond to it? That's the point of warfare. You can be at peace in the midst of the struggle, or you can be grousy, complainy, and short, and angry, and, and getting mad at the power company, whatever, and all that is just foolishness. But when you are secure in the Lord, when you pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit, to be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, whatever circumstance you find yourself dealing with, whether it's unexpected like the blackout for 8 hours and having to relocate food and stuff in the middle of the night, you know what? You can do that as unto the Lord, saying, "Lord, we're grateful that 99.9% of the time we do have electricity, where in tons of places around the world they don't. We do have plenty of food that we do have to cart around to kind of save, and many tons of places around the world don't have much food at all. It's day to day." And we turned it into a praise time. A time of thankfulness in the Lord. We didn't let the enemy succeed in his spiritual warfare of fiery darts and attacking our hearts and seducing us and confusing us to focus on the wrong thing, the circumstance, rather than our reaction to the circumstance. My friend, be on the alert. The enemy is constantly trying to discourage you, to overwhelm you, to get you bitter, angry, resentful, lustful, prideful, all those things. That's where the point of spiritual warfare primarily takes place. And he's looking to capture your heart, wound your heart, bind up your heart, even if you're saved. Don't let him do that. Instead, pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray with all prayer and petition at all times in the Spirit, and be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, not just yourself, but for your spouse and your family and your neighbors. We were on the alert with helping our neighbors deal with it too, and touching base and all. You can turn unexpected dark times, and that was a literal one last night, into light times when you experience the peace in the midst of the storm that only the Lord can give. Oh, my friend, the Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for you to pray at all times in the Spirit. Now we come to 19, and then we'll wind up our time with number 20. Number 19 is how the Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for you to pray with abounding love. Do you pray with abounding love? Or do you pray with a whining heart? Sometimes I do that, and the Lord loves me anyway, and that's where the abounding love comes in from the top down, you know, and he's trying to engender it from me back up to him, right? We get that. But listen to this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, if you're taking notes, as this is number 19, to pray with abounding love. Philippians 1, 9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." Is that just way cool or what? I mean, that'll preach its own sermon right there in and of itself. It's about praying that your love may abound, and that may abound more and more, not just stay static, and that it will abound. This love would be based on real knowledge about this real person, the real God, and then with all discernment, recognizing that we're all works in progress and we're mixed bags, and there's going to be some mixtures of some good and some bad. But you know what? We got to take the bad with the good. Folks we're all works in progress. We are downcast sheep in one sense, but we're also being used of God in mighty ways in another sense. It's a both and all the time. And when we get that we're not here to compete with each other, we're not here to compare our lives or our hearts or our gifts or our ministries with each other. We're not here to fix each other. We're here to love each other, because we all have areas that we struggle in. We all have insecurities that we deal with. And this is why it's saying here, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge that people are mixed bags and God is the real deal, and he's not a mixed bag. We got stuff we got to work on. We got sin stuff that creeps in. We got attitude problems and baggage and wounds. God doesn't. And the Lord calls us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love each other as ourselves. We got the vertical love and we got the horizontal love. It's about abounding love. In fact, Scripture even says over in 1 Peter, above all else, that'll get your attention, above all else, keep fervent in your love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. It's about abounding love, my friends. I pray that you learn to pray with abounding love, and it'll just leak out of you, ooze out of you, pour forth out of you wherever you go. The more you spend time with the Lord, your prayer focus, pray with abounding love toward him and receiving his abounding love toward you, you will be a powerful spiritual force and encouragement to the people around you. Now let's wrap this up. Number 20. The Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for us to pray with thanksgiving. This is one of the most powerful secrets of prayer and secrets to joy and peace in this world than we have in all of Scripture. Philippians 4, 6 puts it this way, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord." And there it is. When you pray, yes, you're to pray with supplication, but when you're asking God for something, it needs to be supplication with thanksgiving. In other words, whenever you're praying for God to do something or give you something at the same time, and in the same breath. Be thankful what he's already given for you, and be thankful for whatever answer he chooses to give you. Lord, I just thank you so much. You're so gracious. You've done so much for us. And Lord, I'm asking for this, and it would be wonderful, but you know what? Not my will, but thine be done. And I trust you, and I thank you that you're going to answer this prayer just exactly like you need to. So I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to keep score. I'm not going to make it a test of whether you're faithful or not. Lord, I just love talking with you. In fact, I'm thankful for what I already have. You don't have to do anything else. I'm so grateful for how ridiculously lavish you've been in your love, grace, and provision for us, and how you're there for us even when circumstances are hard and tough. Do you pray with thanksgiving? Is it saturating your time with the Lord? Do you enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and enter his courts with praise? My friend, you cultivate that, and you won't be anxious for the things of this earth. You won't be anxious or overwhelmed by the circumstances of this life. You will have a peace that surpasses all understanding, that people will go, wow, no matter what comes up, there's this inexplicable peace within them. I want that. And they can have it. And his name is Jesus. So Lord, thank you for being our prayer focus. We receive that today. You want to walk in that. You're so gracious. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and make sure and check out the website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with the Lord, your prayer focus.